Good morning and welcome to our meeting, 9 a.m. on January 6, 2026. And time to convene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PV Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. Joining me today are Commissioner Julieta Altamirano-Crosby, our Vice President, Commissioner Tony Olson, our Secretary, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Helen Willebrock, Chief Operating and Legal Officer, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, Jenny Ridge, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stoltz, our Deputy Clerk. Please mute or turn off your cell phones or other electronic devices at this time. At this time, I will say the flag salute and you're welcome to join me if you'd like.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, to the Republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Copies of the agenda for today are located on the deputy clerk's table near the entrance. Commissioners, are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
I see none. I have none.
None.
I have none.
Okay. Comments from the public is item two on today's agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments for items not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons will be recognized to speak from sign-up cards located at the deputy clerk's table near the entrance. It's driven by Zoom, you can click raise hand or dial star 9 if by phone. And I'll call on you to speak at the appropriate time. If you're calling in on a phone, you will need to dial star 6 to unmute. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use a microphone, state and spell your name and who state where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioner, not the audience. If documents or the materials to enter into the record, please hand them to the deputy clerk who will distribute them to the board. Appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So we'll start out with agenda item one, recognition declarations. 1A, Employee of the Month, Kelsey Lewis. Is Jeff Feinberg here to introduce Kelsey? Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, commissioners. Thanks for having us. So usually when presenting this for someone, I wouldn't be reading from a page, but primarily speaking from my heart and mind. But today, in order to share more with you about Kelsey Lewis and why the team, her customers and partners all think she's great, I'm actually going to be doing both. I'm going to be reading, but also speaking from my heart and mind about Kelsey. Because if I don't, I would definitely miss some of her tremendous accomplishments that we want to share with you guys today. I'm also proud to say that the timeliness of this event is pretty exciting because just this weekend, she also celebrated a birthday. So we're celebrating a lot today, not just Employee of the Month, but a birthday. And I'll say it's pretty cool because it gives our whole team a reason to get together and come in the room at the same time too. So that's pretty exciting as well. There's a lot to celebrate this morning. So Kelsey joined our team in February of 2021. And she was actually, throughout this, I'm going to be quoting from peers, partners, and some customers. And so every time I'm quoting from someone else, I'll throw my hands up in air quotes so you know that those are their words and not my words. But I just want you to know that I'm not the only one that has nice things to say about Kelsey. So when you see this, no.
Yeah. He really wants to get his exercise in.
You know me. I'm always, okay. Anyways, so Kelsey joined our team in February of 2021. And she was actually the first person that I had the opportunity to hire during the pandemic. And one of the most interesting parts of her onboarding is due to the pandemic, she actually didn't meet her full team in person until she was probably about, 9 or 10 months into the role with the team, which was kind of a unique experience. But what I'll say, that didn't stop Kelsey from connecting and jumping right into the work we gave her. She quickly built relationships and she hit the ground running with all the programs we gave her. One of her first challenges at that time was to take on our strategic energy management portfolio of programs. These programs, they're really foundational to all of our energy efficiency programs, and they work with some of our largest customers on no-cost, low-cost measures that can have a really, really big impact. This has been a foundational, one of our top three largest savings programs for years in our portfolio. Furthermore, many of these cohort members go on to do projects with us into the future once they see the value of energy efficiency in their cohorts. The program Kelsey inherited had been managed previously by some of our most senior PMs and engineers and account managers. And here she was tackling it as one of her first assignments, new to the district and doing it all virtually at that rate. In addition to managing the industrial and wastewater cohorts, she went on to help launch a clean water cohort and has since added a commercial program with several cohorts serving school districts and healthcare customers, among many others. She's also launched our Clean Buildings Accelerator program too, an extension of this suite of programs and critical to helping our customers understand the law and get critical support as they seek to comply. One of these aforementioned senior team members, Tom Hupty, had the following to say of Kelsey. Here we go. Kelsey's contributions as a PM have delivered continuous improvement in the coordination, contract, recruitment, and proactive customer engagement components of these initiatives. Her ability to relate to customers' challenges in maintaining their focus on energy efficiency initiatives has been especially effective in the successes that have been achieved. Her teaming with colleagues on engaging customers and implementers in response to the Clean Buildings Law has resulted in Snohomish County PUD being a leader in utilities supporting their customers and building value through this approach. I am very proud to have had the opportunity to work alongside Kelsey. This organization is very fortunate to have her. And one reason this is really meaningful too is Tom Hubdy was one of the key members that brought these programs to our department many, many years ago. And so Tom's words really loom large when he talks about what Kelsey has meant to this program and where she's continued to take it and evolve it beyond. So another one of her teammates, Eddie Hogan, describes this type of leadership from Kelsey best when he says, here we go another. As the lead for developing, deploying, and maintaining our programs, she carries significant responsibility while often coordinating complex efforts that require patience, persistence, and precision. Despite the challenges, she manages it all effortlessly. Kelsey dedicates countless hours to improving every process that crosses her desk, always striving for excellence across all facets of her work. Her calm demeanor, kindness, and steady leadership make her someone others naturally admire and want to follow. She's not simply manager of programs, but she's a leader who is always thinking about who else we need to get to this work and innovating how we might do it, as evidenced by our upcoming multifamily extension of the strategic energy management to a critical customer segment as well. A member of a recent cohort, Will Thompson of Edmonds College, had this to say about Kelsey. Kelsey has been very helpful with big picture strategy related to energy management, but she also doesn't shy away from helping with gritty issues like helping spend PTS tools budget through CSIM, by the way, loaded with acronyms, tried to pull as many out as we could, couldn't. Still Tom, Will talking. That attitude makes us feel like Snohomish PV cares about us. In addition to managing the strategic energy management program portfolio, Kelsey also said yes to supporting a critical aspect of our El Sol Alicante de Tus Manos through the community engagement and outreach of the solar project. Susie Oversby, another teammate, shared the following, which speaks to how Kelsey approaches her work. Every step of the way, she's put members of the surrounding Casino Road community first, giving light and volume to their voices and interests. Specifically, Kelsey engaged local artists to develop and work with community members on an art project to be displayed on the project's fence. This involved abundant coordination between the artists, project managers, facilities, community stakeholders, and a local elementary school that has resulted in hundreds of brightly colored wooden hands and signs painted by local students. Several murals are also in the work. This art will be the face of the project and an important point of connection and hopefully pride and sense of ownership with the community. And by the way, we're very much looking forward to showing you guys this work. I think in March or April, we'll be back to present it and you guys will see it and then the whole community will. Such a cool legacy project that Kelsey was really the lead for. And so by the way, we got off my script, we'll get back to it. Kelsey's leadership is not program or project specific. It's who she is and how she brings herself to each assignment that make her unique, thoughtful, and such a great and critical member of our team. In this project, I've watched Kelsey work with our artists to ensure that they have all the support they need through several different challenges. They continue to share such great feedback on how they have felt supported. Susie goes on to note the following. This entire project is above and beyond Kelsey's day job. It is a labor of love. She does it because she is passionate about energy and social justice and ensuring the district shows compassion for the community and how we develop and construct this project. Kelsey is very kind, thoughtful, driven, and impact-oriented. She does not shy away from hard problems or crucial conversations. I agree with Susan. Kelsey's impact goes beyond these programs and projects, in our local community alone, as additionally she supports the Northwest SEM Cohorts Collaborative with other regional utilities and partners. After facilitating the fall workshop, I received the following feedback unsolicited from an industry peer, Ross Ferguson. And he said, Kelsey and the committee put together a great schedule of sessions throughout the day, a nice mix of learning, fun, and networking. AESC, which is the company Ross works for, led a session, and we really enjoyed collaborating with her. She crushed it, and I felt like she deserved to be recognized. Another partner, Karen Brooks from TRC, said the following. I've had the pleasure of working closely with Kelsey while co-leading the Beyond the E working group as part of the Northwest SEM Collaborative, and I can't say enough positive things about her leadership and collaboration style. Kelsey brings an exceptional level of organization, thoughtfulness, and clarity to everything she does. She's well-spoken, a strong critical thinker, and consistently elevates the work through her preparation and strategic perspective. Working with Kelsey was truly a joy. She's a natural leader, an excellent collaborator, and someone who makes complex work feel both achievable and engaging. I would gladly work with her again. And another, I mean, it's just ringing. I mean, it's coming from everywhere. And another awesome testimonial from April Cannon. And it's, well, it's coming. April's actually, well, April's on her way to be here.
Yeah. Oh, that's so special.
She might miss this part, but she might get there something.
She said that's
the
open
there. Okay, I was She's here, and I'm going to use, this is her voice. So anyway, Elsie is the reason I joined the Northwest SEM cohort leadership team. My first year attending the workshop at McMenamins Kennedy School in 2023, I watched her lead with genuineness, grace, and confidence. She made it look effortless, every detail was thoughtful, every interaction was personable, and the entire event was fun and engaging. We all walked away from the day feeling inspired and connected, and that was because of Kelsey. Since then, I've had the privilege of working alongside her as co-chair for the Northwest SEM Fall Workshop, and my appreciation for her has only grown. Kelsey is one of the most kind, empathetic, and inspiring people I've ever met. She lights up every room with her energy and humor, and her creativity and leadership are unmatched. She brings the best ideas forward and collaborates in a way that makes everyone feel valued. Her passion for her work and the people she serves shines through in everything she does. Still April speaking. On top of all that, she's real, authentic, thoughtful, and fun. Her dance moves are legendary. Kelsey isn't just a colleague. She's a friend and an inspiration. Working with her has been an honor, and I'm happy to see her recognized for the incredible leader and human she is. This year, Kelsey also took on the challenge and opportunity to managing two SEI Climate Core fellows on our team that we added to increase customer support for the clean buildings legislation. This was an idea that Kelsey brought to us to increase our capacity to serve customers and to balance with this with an opportunity to share in workforce development in our industry. This opportunity has allowed Kelsey to demonstrate her ability in people leadership in addition to all the programs and projects. The fellows, Irina and Aparna, have provided excellent customer support and have routinely recognized Kelsey's support in their development. Furthermore, they continue to have interest in eventually working at the district full-time, another testament to the support and advocacy that they're receiving from Kelsey in the way she represents us. Now, there's a lot more I can say about Kelsey. I know I've already been saying a lot. But perhaps this last story is another great example of just what a bold leader she is, and yet how she leads with thoughtfulness, professionalism, and kindness as she goes. A couple of years ago, a customer reached out with a concern about the name of a software a vendor was using. The comment was that the name could be perceived as culturally insensitive. Kelsey shared this feedback with me and set up some time where we and Sherelle, our DEI consultant at the time, could talk through our next steps and options. Kelsey then reached out to the vendor and shared our feedback, and that we'd also like to collaborate on a solution with them. The vendor thanked us for the feedback, and it resulted in a name change of the software and an even more enhanced collaboration with that partner. This was no small challenge and something that could have easily gone by the wayside or been left for someone else to take on. Instead, it presented our team with opportunities to learn and grow as well as we navigated the process and the change. And yet it only happened because Kelsey knew this was another opportunity to do the right thing and lead. This is who she is and how she does her work. We on Energy Services are very happy to call her our teammate. And as you have heard from customers, peers, and partners, We all agree that you are very deserving of this recognition today. Kelsey, I continue to enjoy learning from you and the way you do your work, just like you taught me how to use an application in your one-on-one yesterday. So thank you.
In her wrong way?
Her one-on-one.
Oh,
It's
no.
supposed to,
Oh, okay.
yeah,
I
it.
thought she taught you to do it
No. No, just yet
right.
again, it'll be a meeting where I'm supposed to come alongside her as her manager and maybe help her, and instead she's teaching me how to use applications the right way. So that's, yes, sorry.
Good managing up.
She is. I mean, a lot of people in this room are about that. I'm very happy for the greater district to get to understand all you bring to your role on behalf of our customers. And with that, I guess we'll just end by saying me and the team are proud of this acknowledgement and happy that you're representing us in the district as January's Employee of the Month.
Okay.
Hi, sweetie.
Thank
Oh, thank
you.
you. So jealous. You're so funny. So glad to
Me too.
meet you.
Happy birthday. Congratulations. All right.
Pictures.
Oh, yes.
Well, we gotta take speeches first. I can't do the air quotes while I'm holding the
Oh, this isn't that. That's really
yes.
So first off, I'll say that understanding our customers is sort of the secret sauce that so many PUD employees have. You sound like you take it above and beyond and really understand their hopes, their fears, their challenges. And it's just so important how we connect with them so they can help us be better and we can help them. And I'm on a personal note, I remember the groundbreaking, how excited the artists were for the solar project. And I can't wait to see what they and the students came up with. So thank you for taking lead on that. So we have for your trophy case.
Please.
If you don't have one, you can start one. Or
There
paperweight.
she goes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations. And well, thank you for all that you do. I'm really impressed with all the accomplishments, but I quite don't believe that you dance bachata and that you, well, we need to go together in
We'll
some
to the songs.
okay? Yeah. That I quite don't. But on another note, I
need to do it sometime.
Yeah, we need to dance.
Yeah, well, okay. Let's do it. Yeah.
Right now.
Can yeah, can you play something today?
You talk yourself into something.
So, in another note, well, Casino Road is in my heart. When I came here and I started working and to 12 to 11 at Bison Elementary School,
Oh,
I worked for Macotillo School District as a family engagement. That was the first time. So I know the community there, and that project is in my heart as well. So thank you for all that you do, personally in Casino, because it's an underserved community. So, and I guess I get
you get the yeah, you get the cool thing.
Cool. Yeah. So I this is a nice picture. So
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'll add that to the trophy case.
yeah. Okay. Well, Tony needs to mentor me how to model in this. That
No, so we'll make it happen. Thank you.
Oh, did it increase?
Yeah, wow.
They did?
Yeah.
You know, you represent employees that come to us as Employee of the Month. You hear strong leadership. You hear collaboration. You hear customer care. And I think that is a major underpinning of the success that the PUD team has. And you represent all of them here. And you didn't come from the industry, your previous employment.
I used to work in paper mills, so not in
Oh,
energy,
okay,
but in
not in.
manufacturing.
So you had a big learning curve,
Yes.
probably. And you didn't get to see your fellow workers for 9 months.
Yeah, that was hard.
Yeah, I bet that was. And my last thing, Dance.
Great, Auntie. I am so into ballet.
Oh, great.
Oh, yes. See?
Susie's a dancer too. There's something. Is Susie Oversby.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, tell me. Now, have you could do you compete?
No, just for fun.
Oh, you
Yeah.
still you never professionally.
No.
One of the little kids in the Nutcracker, and
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. I
no.
was a Snow Queen 1 year.
Oh, wow.
My crowning accomplishment.
The one in Seattle?
No, Tacoma.
Tacoma. Well, thank you.
It
Sorry.
The Nutcracker is great. Anyway. So, anyway, dear, I'm so proud of you. And just a little thing, maybe you could buy a couple of burgers.
Oh, thank you so much. Does Amazon sell burgers?
Probably.
Oh, actually, I think we stole.
Thank you very much, commissioners.
Well, thank you.
Let's put your certificates over here with Allison, and let's get you pictures of you with your trophy here.
Okay.
You get in the middle.
Okay,
Okay.
perfect.
Let's scoot down just a little. Oops. I'm taking a picture of myself. There we go. Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you have some people here?
My parents.
Where are they hiding?
The meeting's recorded, Dad, so.
Oh,
I'll take a picture together.
Yeah. Let's get a picture together, and then we'll get a picture of just you and your parents.
Boy, did you good do a good job.
My mom, Tina, my dad, Greg.
Nice to meet you guys. Thank you for coming today.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Nice to meet you. I'll put your next thing out of you.
Okay, perfect. There we go.
A little bit closer.
Thank you.
Let's get the
One
family
more.
going if we can.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll get
I'll be in the
the
middle. Okay.
Christmas card photo.
Yeah.
That's
Or whatever holiday.
Thank you.
So Kelsey, one last thing. You have the mic if you
Yes.
want to.
Yeah, great.
I was waiting for my turn. Wow, I think it's hard to absorb that much praise in one sitting. But I want to first of all say thank you to all of my coworkers who nominated me. I've nominated folks in the past, and it's quite extensive, the application. So the fact that they took the time out of their days, I mean, we're all so busy, to nominate me really means a lot. I also want to thank Jeff for his leadership. He's been my manager the entire time here, and I think he inspires all of us to bring our humanity to work, which feels really special to have a leader like that. I also just want to say how grateful I am to be a part of this team. You know, working for a public organization, you really get to align your values to the work, and it makes those days where, you know, maybe you're dealing with like an annoying problem bearable because you're connected to that higher purpose. So I knew I wanted to work for a public organization, but now being here 5 years in, I know this is the right spot for me. And I don't know if commissioners, you know that I really love to travel, as my team will tell you. Thank you for covering me. But one thing that feels so special when I do travel and I meet folks, a lot of times you're talking about, you know, what do you do for work? And I'm one of the few people that actually gets to say, I love what I do. And that feels so special. And I feel really rich for that experience. I also want to say thank you to my mentors, Tom, or Jeff mentioned Tom Hovde. He just took me under his wing when I first started, showed me the ropes. Yeah, has been at the PD for a long time. And I consider him my work dad. Sorry, Dad. But you know, he showed me everything from like the details of how to deal with contracts to how to talk to customers, and I'm so grateful when he's in the room because he can smooth over anything with his wordsmithing. It's really impressive. I also want to say thank you to Susie Oversby, who I consider one of my mentors. Watching her on the El Sol project has been incredible. she can get things done and has inspired me to kind of run with things on the community engagement side. Also, my formal mentor, Amy Brown, has really been helpful. I'm so grateful for that program because it's been really nice to connect with folks across the district and have a place to kind of work on your own development. And all of my other coworkers, you know, I feel like I'm finally to that place after having started 9 months virtually. Now I can just like call people and ask them those questions that maybe folks who were working in the office in person before felt more comfortable doing. And yeah, I'm just really grateful to be here. So thank you, everybody.
We're glad you're here.
Oh, thank you so much.
One last acknowledgement. I just want to say, I was living with my parents when I got this job, and that was really cool because we went through the whole pandemic together. So we were watching Tiger King. We were like wiping out babies. And I just remember like I had, you know, in my bedroom, I was doing the interview. I came out to tell them how it was. And when Jeff called me to say I got the job, I remember running into the living room and like giving them a hug. And I just started crying. It was like very cool to share that moment with them. And now it's like, bring your parents to work day. And they get to tell me what my life is like. So thank you, mom and dad.
When you bring to work, you got to take them out for lunch.
Yeah.
All right. Next, item two, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public for items not on today's agenda? Please state your first and last name for record. My hand raised online and in the room. Don't see any. Well, next, move on to item three, our consent agenda. So, 3A, approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of December 16, 2025, and the special meeting of December 30, 2025. 3B, bid award professional service contracts and amendments. 3C, consideration of certification slash ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? Take hands up. Now, commissioners, do you have any questions or comments? Is that defendable?
I'm happy none.
I do have one.
Okay.
Clarification. On the Pan Island Cable procurement project, I didn't understand that the present start and end date, and then it has the same end date for new end date. 1/15/26. Up in the right-hand side of that page.
Right. Clark Langstrat contracts purchasing. The reason the end date didn't change is because this only adds dollars to the contract, and the completion date remains the same since amendment number one.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Other questions? I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay. Aye. Motion passed unanimously. Next, item four, our CEO General Manager and Briefing Study Session. This item is for the board and our general manager to discuss issues among ourselves and with the PUD staff. So I would agree with General Manager John Harlow, who will facilitate our good morning, John.
The commissioners, first up, we have our media update and our own Aaron Sweeney. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Still know how to clear a room. Thanks for having me today. It's been a busy December, I'll say. Storms, we've got spills, rate increases, budgets, all that kind of stuff. So we've been talking a lot to the press and putting out press releases. So a really busy time. First up, storm. So we had kind of back-to-back storms on that week, December 15th through the 20th. I had a small one on Monday and then a bigger one on Wednesday, made for a challenging time, but nicely, you know, the media was reaching out to us. We were able to do a lot of proactive messaging through some live interviews kind of leading into it. After it, we put out a press release on Wednesday talking about what we were doing. Having Erica on board was really nice. She really opened us up to be more proactive. We were able to reach out to Seattle Times, Everett Herald, in a way that kind of facilitates some of those interviews, got a lot more information out than maybe we did in the past. resulted in 20 some stories in print and on TV. So just really good coverage of the storm. I thought it turned out really well. One thing I really wanted to point out was this new idea that Kelly Stickney's team in the community engagement group kind of came up with, that was going out tabling into a community that maybe got hit the hardest. Camino Island got hit pretty hard. I think the whole island was out for a period of time early on Wednesday. So we went out there on Thursday, tabled at the event, got media coverage from Stanwood Camino News. Fox News came out, or Q13. Came out and did a story, did some interviews. We had 100 plus people come to the table, engage with us in person, charging phones, getting water, coffee, having conversations about where our crews are at on the island, what the work they're doing. It was really a nice chance to have that kind of in-person touch to show care for the community. And I think it went really well. I think the hope is to do it. So we communicated out through media or social media and a number of different avenues. One lesson learned was, why not put it out through the outage map? Actually, one of our customers suggested that on social media. And because we can target messaging through our map, we could have targeted it straight to Camino Island residents and just said, come on out from, you know, 10 to 2 or whatever.
You might have to have multiple locations.
I think that's a discussion point. Yeah. For sure.
What a great idea. Those
storms.
It's very impressive.
Just some stats from the storm. Our outage map, just from the December 17th to 20th, had over 135,000 views. Outage map overall did an amazing job. You know, I think if you see it now, you can drill down to those individual outages. And from a communication standpoint, it helped us a ton to be able to talk about what those incidents were, where our crews at, and how they were going to help customers, get the power back on for folks. You know, our outage map overall, I think it was 245,000 views for that week. So really, yeoman's work from IT and the whole outage team on that. Snowpud.com just shows that people still really come to the website when there's outages. You know, 60,000 views on that one day alone, a lot of traffic getting the website, and then almost 3 million impressions across all of our social media platforms.
I have a question. I think that my mic. Okay, yeah, now it's on. So for the outage map that we have, can we identify what areas of the county they check in that?
That's a good question. That's an IT question, but I can write that down and come back with that.
Why interesting, you know,
where the traffic's coming from and what regions? From,
yes, mostly that is impact all the county and Camano Island. So kind of nice to identify who can get it or what areas.
So are you saying even though they're not out, they check that?
Well, maybe I would like to see if it's the Stanwood, how many people from Stanwood, how many people from, you know, or more the areas, the more impact by the storm or something.
Thank you.
It's curious.
Thank you, Commissioner Christy Sterling, Chief Information Officer. That's a great question, and the map is a wonderful tool. When you look at the map, anyone can see this, there's the ability to see the number of outages at any given time, and you can zoom in or zoom out to see those outages where they're actually located, so you can get a great view of our service territory while a storm is occurring, and that's dynamic and changes as outages are restored. So it is a real-time view. Anything like trending wouldn't be in the map. Trending information would be reporting that we would do outside of the map. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
No,
but
I don't think it's enough.
It's not. I am able to see the outage map. I click and I'm familiar now with that. But that's not what I would like to know. I would like to know the 135,411 views. Who see that? What people? They live in Camano Island, they live in Snohomish, they live in Lingwood. Where are they coming from, all those views?
Okay, that would be outside of the map, and that would be data that we would be able to share and develop some queries or reports to look at the trending of who's accessing the map. And we do get that information. So I think that we could take that as as a follow-up and get you the information.
Well, I think it's amazing too. I mean, mostly for the stores, many activity, many people look at it, but who are or where are those people?
I'm probably about 130,000 of those people.
That's right. That's right. We'll take that aside.
Good point, Commissioner Altamirano made, however, me with the dollar signs, I'd like to know it's probably internal cost.
Internal costs to
develop something like that.
I honestly, I don't think it's something that we have to develop. Let me take that aside and a point well taken, Commissioner Olson. This is information that we have within the map, I believe, and some
we
of
have
the
it,
data. So I don't think it would be I don't think it would be a stretch to be able to provide some level of information. But if it is, we'll follow up and let you know.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comment, Commissioner. So because I know one that you guys, I mean, if it's cost something, no, I mean. So.
It would be interesting to know, like, if Camino Island's out,
yeah,
is 90% of Camino Island's to our best estimate, access. It'd be interesting. So.
And to the point of multiple views, I didn't put this on here, but it was about 40,000 were individual active users that viewed the map. So that's still a really good number.
This is a good picture to put on the internet and ask people to caption it.
I mean, some really good pictures.
What are those five people?
There was,
what are they saying? Like, oh my gosh. A lot of trees. And like,
pictures for social media, pictures are gold. Because it shows exactly the.
Yeah. Okay. Like saying, I think Job's house is down that road.
But he gets no preference.
No.
I'm going to skip a little bit ahead to the spade spill coverage to keep it within the same framework of. Before the week before the storm, we had a spate of spill. These happen occasionally every few years. We've seen in the past that rumors can start, things can happen. And our biggest message with this was Combach Dam is safe. Again, proactively, Erica was able to reach out to media and kind of, we sent a press release out as soon as we began spilling, but she was able to then double down on the message that Combach Dam is safe, you know, and then we were able to take that message to the Snohomish County EOC, make sure everybody there knew that this was exactly how the dam is supposed to function. It's working as intended. And then later on, we did have somebody come into one of the emergency shelters and say that the dam was failing. And the nice thing was that people on scene could get that information quickly and dispel any rumors that could have started. So it is something that every time we spill, we want to be really, really proactive with getting information out so we can dispel those.
And special attention given to some communication.
Yes, it was, and natural resources and generation was on top of that. And that was part of the communications too, that we're working closely with SOL.
I think the other thing we did a good job of messaging was that the contribution to the flooding that was happening at the time.
Yeah.
Small,
pretty minimal. Yeah,
I think most of it. I think that's important to have it because you're in a flood,
yeah,
and then you hear a dam's going to spill.
Yeah, yeah.
Without knowing the math.
Yeah, yeah, trying to message that really the most of that flood.
Yeah, so I think we did a great job.
So I'll go back. So we had the budget and rate increase pass in late December. Put out the press release on that. Put out some information through the website. I put on here that we got limited media, likely due to the storm and the flooding coverage, really. You usually see when we put out a budget and rate increase information, it gets picked up by Seattle, it gets picked up by a lot of different media organizations. This time it really didn't. I think they were just really distracted. I do think also that it wasn't a large increase, so I think that was also. Locations. We had a nice opportunity to have a story run in the NWPPA bulletin in December on Commissioner Julieta Altamirano Crosby and kind of her history and now her 1 year kind of as a PUD commissioner. So I thought that was a really nice opportunity that they afforded us. And I think the story turned out really well. In the wire for January, we're focusing on water, 80th anniversary. Something you'll see from us in 2026 is focusing on low and no cost tips to kind of help customers understand how they can impact their bill with just little changes. We've seen that some of our scores with J.D. Power are low in this area. So we really want to talk to customers about ways they can impact their usage, their bill through just some simple, tips and things like that, and changes in their lifestyle. So you'll see a lot more on that from the electric side as well. But I thought Erica did a fantastic job on this at the water. And Wendy did a great job with the design as usual. That's it from me.
Questions for Erin?
Thank you so much for all the information. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thank you,
Erin. Great job. All right, next up is we're heading into a 2026 legislative session, and Collins to give us an update.
Yeah.
The fun begins.
That's your job enough.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Good morning, commissioners. For the record, my name is Ryan Collins, Snohomish PUD's State Government Relations and External Affairs Specialist 3, and I'm here to provide you with a preview of the 2026 legislative session. So here's what we'll cover today. We'll run through a quick overview of Snohomish PUD's State Government Relations Program. We'll then move to the legislative calendar and process for this short session. We'll quickly touch upon the makeup of the legislature. We'll talk about some policy themes for 2026, including energy and environment. Then we'll touch briefly upon the biennial budget challenges, as well as Governor Ferguson's recent proposed budget request. And then I'll end with a quick quickly touch upon how I plan to report back to the commission during this session. This presentation is for information purposes only. Since it's been a quick beat since I've been in front of the commission, I wanted to start out by quickly reminding you all what the POD's State Government Relations team does. We do a lot of things, and so this isn't exhaustive, but we represent Snohomish PUD's interests to government officials and advocate for policies that benefit the district and our community. We also monitor and track legislative and regulatory developments that could impact our organization. We also build and maintain trust-filled relationships with elected officials, government agencies, decision makers, and other stakeholders. During session and outside of session as well, we analyze proposed policies and regulations and work with the district's subject matter experts to understand their potential impacts on the organization. And we also develop strategies to influence public policy and regulatory outcomes. The state team includes myself as the in-house lead, Marion Daka, who I believe should be on the line here, who is our contract lobbyist, and of course, our fearless leader, Kim Johnston, who leads and manages the entire government relations team. Together, we aim to be solutions-focused, ensuring state decision-makers are educated about how their policy choices impact our organization and our industry. So, the legislative calendar. The 2026 legislative session is a short session, which just means that it's going to be 60 days this year, starting this coming Monday, January 12th, which then runs through the end or kind of mid-March. So March 12th is going to be the end of when they gavel out. Short sessions are typically pretty fast and primarily focused on budget adjustments and policy debates that were left unfinished from the prior year, with a little sprinkling in of new ideas. As you are aware, the legislature structures its time by establishing cutoff dates, which I've listed here on slide 4 for your awareness. If a bill fails to move forward in the legislative process by a certain cutoff date, that bill is considered dead. I will note that bills that carry a fiscal note can be considered quote unquote necessary. I should use Jeff's air quotes here, necessary to implement the budget or NTIB. Which means that they don't have to follow this specific cutoff guidance, but they're more the exception rather than the rule. I added this visual in here just because I thought it was a pretty good example of just the legislative process as it moves forward, as how bills move forward through the respective policy and fiscal committees, and then to the floor for each vote in each chamber, and then with the governor and his ability and his actions there at the bottom and at the end of the process. See each cutoff there as well. As for the state's legislative makeup, the political composition remains unchanged from last year, with the Senate split 30 Democrats to 19 Republicans, and the House split 59 Democrats to 39 Republicans. This gives the Democratic Party near supermajorities in both chambers. Leadership also remains the same for the 2026 legislative session, the Senate being led by Senate Majority Leader Jamie Peterson, and the House by Speaker of the House, Lori Jenkins. Same goes for the Snohomish PUD delegation here. We have no changes since last session. The same lawmakers will be representing the same jurisdictions that they did last year, so we don't anticipate anything else changing there.
Well, it might change next year because it's going to be interesting.
It's going to
be the 22nd.
Absolutely. We are getting into the election cycle, so
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
The representatives in the Rio is running for Senate against Jesse Salomon. So, yeah.
Good to see some new faces.
Mm-hmm.
As for kind of the major legislative themes that we're going to be looking at this year, the session is really going to be largely dominated by the budget and revenue debates. Lawmakers are facing a $1 to $2 billion shortfall for the remainder of the biennium and have declared that every option is on the table, from including new revenue ideas to spending cuts to address this shortfall. At the same time, changes to federal policy and regulations have added another level of complexity for state lawmakers to adapt to and respond to. So we should anticipate seeing some of those efforts as well. And then last but not least is affordability. This, I think, is going to be kind of the key word you're hearing a lot. You'll hear a lot in 2026, ranging from the cost of groceries, another run at specific policy proposals to fix housing and make that more affordable, as well as potentially stuff on utility bills. Within the energy and environment space, on a more granular level, these issues will continue to be part of the conversation, but they'll be more of an intersection with the broader fiscal and policy debates that are occurring at the legislature. If we imagine all those buckets at the top kind of being a Venn diagram of external factors that are influencing the policy decisions within the energy and environment space, they kind of want to go back and do this as a Venn diagram, but they would all kind of overlap with those three buckets at the bottom, primarily being resource adequacy and reliability, as the state's clean energy targets are coming on, not just on the horizon, but are coming more and more into focus. Transmission and siting challenges for new renewable projects, specifically within the state. We're also going to see a lot more discussion on emerging technologies, including AI-driven data center growth and their impacts on both energy demand and water demand, as well as other resources. Anticipate seeing proposals related to ratepayer impacts and affordability, especially for vulnerable customers. And then last but not least, climate variability is certainly becoming a larger topic of conversation, and particularly around wildfire and mitigating the risks related to that type of catastrophe.
I have a question.
Yes.
Second box on the left, rollback of federal energy, clean energy incentives, that's not the state business managing what the state anticipates.
Correct. Right? Yeah. So as you know, the federal government passed recent legislation, strip those out. And so now everyone's trying to figure out exactly how they either backfill that or continue the momentum for the energy transition.
Which means money.
Correct. In a budget environment that they don't have much of the meaning for an interesting discussion. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if a question, concerns, curious, I have no idea, but as soon as I heard the AI data centers growth and everything, so I'm not against that, but I'm concerned and worry about the millions of gallons of water that they need. And so when I see this topic, I start to like brainstorm in my head, are you guys going to talk during this time with the legislators about that? Regulations and how they are going to manage and how they're going to create the policies in place, where they're going to put the data centers and how many gallons, millions of water they're going to do, how they're going to provide and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know.
I just picked up on the topic.
It's
the AI.
Yeah, yes, for the data centers. Yes.
It certainly is, I think, the hot topic at the moment. All those questions, Commissioner, are exactly the same questions that lawmakers are trying to grapple with. this year or next year. I don't anticipate this discussion receding anytime soon. The governor did put together a working group at the beginning of this year specifically to study data center growth, energy demand, water has become a particularly bigger concern recently in those things. They issued a report to him on December 1st. It's our understanding that the legislature is closely looking at those recommendations and is likely to be proposing something related to those. We submitted comments to the working group back this summer, and so are very closely working with state policy folks on what the contours of that type of proposal is going to look like.
And another thing is the state funding. So for the budget, there's a deficit. Are that going to impact in our programs and our like energy assistance or other programs that we have?
So we're certainly monitoring it. I think the discussion is just beginning in terms of what will be cut, what won't be cut, will new revenue be the decision instead of reducing spending. I think we'll continue to monitor that going forward. Our low-income energy assistance programs and our customer assistance programs are top of mind as we're kind of approaching this issue. The governor's budget did have specifically, and I'll get to this in the next slide, is he has a $200 credit for utility assistance coming from the CCA. There's a couple other buckets that I think lawmakers are clearly prioritizing these types of impacts for constituents.
But it could end up being a significant amount of money because of the federal cuts.
It could. And again, those are going to be the other questions that the legislature has to, particularly it's less in our space, it's more kind of in the healthcare mm-hmm. space with Medicaid and all that. That's going to be a huge impact to the state that they're going to have to figure out.
So I have a just broad question. So in public power state, largely public power state, we've got lots of customers who have amongst the lowest cost electricity rates in the nation. And then we've got customers, about a 12% rate increase by PSE. Is the legislature, are they concerned about that dichotomy or that we've got customers that are spending a larger amount of their paycheck on energy and others that aren't? And
I think it
any thoughts about where they go with that? Or
they are very focused on, again, the idea of affordability, and I think PSE's rate increase has attracted attention from several lawmakers and what they would like to see and do there. They're obviously a different organization than Public Power.
Sure.
I think we'll have to educate our lawmakers specifically on the difference in terms of kind of what Public Power versus the IOUs are facing in terms of these types of affordability challenges, but it is front of mind for a lot of them.
No problem.
As I mentioned, the budget is really going to be the gravitational center for this session. Just to give you a little bit more depth here, to maintain current spending levels, lawmakers must close a $1 to $2 billion gap. You may hear different numbers, but the 1 to 2 is specifically for the rest of this biennium. And this debate really will shape everything else. Non-budget proposals will struggle to gain attention, just thinking of the opportunity cost of what you have to do with every second that you're given. And then revenue options range from cuts to new taxes, and leaders have signaled that nothing is off the table. There continues to be many priorities for the legislature, and simple solutions are becoming far scarcer. Big policy priorities over the past 5 years, 5 to 6 years, are now moving forward and further into implementation, which means deeper impacts and additional trade-offs. All of this will continue to create a framework for how the legislature is going to deal with the challenges that they're facing this year, and they are also going into a 2026 general election year. As I mentioned, Governor Ferguson, just this past December, released his proposed budget request, which leans heavily on spending reductions as opposed to revenue increases, but does include additional kind of one-time transfers. The two big ones I wanted to flag for you are a $1 billion reduction in the rainy day fund, as well as a $500 million shift of the working families tax credit to be funded by climate commitment dollar funding. He, to the commissioner's question. There are other funding investments that the governor has proposed, specifically kind of aiming towards that affordability. There's $30 million for energy affordability programs, $42.5 million for clean energy projects and grid modernization, including a green bank. And then on the wildfire front, $174 million, or $176.8 million for wildfire suppression with the Department of Natural Resources.
I do have a question on grant funds for grid modernization. Does that per car year or something, or we wouldn't qualify to go on into that money?
So,
I didn't get a straight answer, so I'll.
No worries. But typically, so these are related to kind of our clean energy fund or community clean energy grants. These are typical grants we've used for the Arlington microgrid. Some of the, yeah, exactly. So those are the types of grant programs that are still being funded. And again, since we've used those both for our community solar projects as well as battery projects, we're keeping close eye on.
Is that a big number relative to previous years?
I would say it's even from year to year.
Okay.
So we haven't seen significant reductions or increases. And again, given the budgetary environment, I'd consider that a win.
Yeah.
On the revenue side, the governor has also kind of sent out some flare signals on where he's landing. I think the big one that everyone's focusing in on is an income tax on individuals who are making over $1 million a year. That looks like something they're going to be pressing forward through this year, as well as some other opportunities. He did say that he would veto any increase to sales or property taxes going forward. It will pull out the popcorn. Last but not least, I just wanted to quickly touch upon how I plan to report to the commission this session. Throughout the session, you'll receive key legislation reports that typically track 10 to 15 different bills that we're following through the session. You will receive that report every commission meeting. And then I will be here every other commission meeting to provide you with an in-person presentation. But I will plan on focusing my presentation mainly just on significant changes to legislation instead of belaboring different points on bills that haven't necessarily moved forward. My hope is mainly just to focus your attention on proposals that are moving and, again, not belabor or waste your time with proposals that, again, haven't changed since I last reported to you. So with that, any other questions?
Questions?
Yeah, thank you.
Great, thanks for representing us.
Great job, right?
I think the, not a question, but our NWPPA resolutions, the department recommends resolutions as currently written. We support them, all of them.
Yes, that was, that was what was in the packet.
Yeah. I just for the record, I want to make sure that we have that.
Hi, Commissioners. Jenna Peth, Federal Affairs Specialist. Just echoing exactly what you said, we're supportive of the resolutions this year as presented. They're largely consistent with priorities that both the district has and what we recognize as broader regional priorities.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenna. So that's it for the presentations today.
Wow. Okay, next we'll move on to item 5, our CEO General Manager Report. Report for today?
Yeah, just one item, which is actually a follow-up to our meeting last week, the commission special meeting for the approval of the emergency declaration. The question was brought up about estimated storm costs, and Sarah and team have been working, and we believe the storm costs will land somewhere between $8 million and $8.5
million. Okay. And I do recall you mentioned at our last meeting that there's some consideration being given to have kind of a replenishment fund. You're going to put some of the storm money aside in a reserve fund.
Yeah, our finance team will be coming back with a proposal of how to structure a reserve account to accommodate for the fluctuation in storm dollars that are spent year over year, and to kind of harmonize that a little bit for the longer term rather than having just
and you would replenish your waste here.
Levelized storm cost.
Well, would levelized storms would be great.
Storms
do levelize,
Just try to mitigate the impact that the storms have year over year.
Any questions on John's report?
None.
Okay, next item six, commission business. Are there any reports, commissioners?
I have none.
Okay. Next is item 6B, our event calendar. Are there any changes to the event calendar? It starts on page 92 of our packet.
Yeah, I double booked myself. So that was a correction for January 8th. And there was one other. Is Sid the only commissioner going to the legislative rally?
I'm going to attend that too, but I didn't respond yet. Sorry.
We're going to talk about it later today, but both Commissioner Logan and Commissioner Altamore and Crosby will be attending.
Okay. I ain't going.
And I'm the only one that's attending BPC and PNF this week, virtually.
Commissioner Wilson did too. She just responded after the packet.
Okay.
That she was doing that in lieu of the AVH event.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I don't know if it's time to bring all the calendar. I would like to attend the NWPDA with fire, and it's going to be in January 27 in Portland. But I don't know if it's okay or not.
Is that a meeting on that topic, or is it an education program?
It is education.
Okay.
It's education topic.
Yeah. I support that. Yeah.
Is it Portland?
Yes, it is January 27.
Well, so that is a change to our budget, so we should vote on that. It's an additional event for our board policy.
So
why don't you make a motion to that you want to attend it? Follow motion, and then we'll vote.
Okay, well, I do a motion. I would like to attend the NWBBA wildfire workshop, and it's going to be in January 27 in Portland.
Okay.
I move approval.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
I support.
Thank you.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Passed unanimously. All right. So any other changes to our commissioner events calendar?
I have none right now.
Okay.
I'm not aware of any of the ones.
Okay, great. Okay. So next, item 6C, our 2025 district performance dashboard. Well, 4 of the packet. Any questions about the dashboard, but is Laura here to answer any? Even in.
Yeah, I was going to highlight just a couple items relative to the reliability. This report is just through November, so it doesn't reflect, obviously, the storms that occurred in December. The other thing on the reliability, coming in February, we will have the new blue sky metrics to the reliability report.
Oh, wonderful.
So the data and analytics team has taken the work that our distribution engineering and planning group put together for how to capture those blue sky metrics. So we'll have a little bit of history, but then also you'll see that on the dashboards going forward.
I am continuing to be impressed at how many people are using our digital platform. 77%
name it the PUD digital platforms.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Turn it in the right way.
Yeah.
And if may I press also for the average daily calls that we have. I mean, I really appreciate it. I mean, always answer those phone calls and everything. So we are doing excellent for the customer service.
Yeah, your team does a fantastic job.
Any questions about the report?
I haven't. I'm reading this file print here.
Okay. So next is 6D, or 2025 Treasury Budget and Project Status Report for November. This is page 107 of the packet. Sarah Bond is available to answer any questions. She just got to put the budget together, now she's got to come and answer questions. Any questions about the report?
Just an observation on page 6 of the PowerPoint, that the crosswind line is being delayed. What's that federal permitting? We need federal permits. We're not even what you're looking at.
Yeah, so on that particular issue, and I guess I should introduce myself again, Jenna, Federal Affairs Specialist. So on that particular issue, we were under an expedited program, but we're still experiencing some delays with staff. You know, there's been a lot of turmoil at the federal level, as you all know, this year between staff being laid off or being otherwise eliminated, as well as the federal shutdown. We've just seen throughout the federal government some delays in permitting. So that's something that we're actively working with, you know, contacting other folks in the relevant agencies, as well as working with our congressional delegation to try and get those moving.
Yeah.
Any other questions from the book? You've got a couple over there.
The Snow Smart program, DOE continues support, and we're on schedule with the reimbursements for our grant. Somebody hiccup. Was that a yelp or a hiccup?
That was a yelp.
Was a yelp. Yes, those large program, and specific to the DOE reimbursements, is still headed in a good direction.
And I like the proactive approach on the distribution automation infrastructure and working with regard to, I guess, delivery on some equipment, and that we're working with them.
Yep.
I like the proactive.
Yes. Not another hiccup. Yes.
No, I didn't say hiccup. I was giving you a compliment.
Any other questions on the report? New Year's resolution?
No. We're just popping.
All right, let's move on to 6E, discussion of representatives to organizations and committees for 2026. We have, I guess, Republicans last year's. On page 123, Lee and the delegate to the American Public Power Association, L&R committee, and Tony Olson being the
yes, I would like to suggest that I be removed from the alternate for APPA, and that Commissioner Crosby be the alternate.
Are you older than?
Yes.
Okay. And I would continue to be the alternate on the NWP.
Okay. Well, then we have Energy Northwest, is myself being the delegate, and Commissioner Julieta Altamirano Crosby being our alternate. Still good?
Yes, thank you.
And then Commissioner Olson, you're proposing that Commissioner Altamont Crosby remain the delegate of NWPPA and you remain the delegate for the alternate, okay?
Whatever.
And then the American Public Power Policymakers Council, I'm still a delegate. My term's not quite up yet. So any questions, any concerns?
Yes.
I will move then to I move adoption of representatives to organizations and committees for 2026 as you just proposed. You've got a proposal down?
When you
look
and now you can ask
us to vote. Yeah, I just can't get my fingers to turn the page. Are there any questions, commissioners?
I have none, no.
Okay. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed unanimously. Next, 7, our governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar? This begins on page 125.
I have none.
Right now with a pretty light schedule. Today is about the lightest day we've had, I think, since I've done the commission.
Hold your breath.
Is this a right time to bring the conversation if we can have a retreat?
Yeah, this is the right time. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's important to have a retreat once a year to evaluate the year. I mean, it was my first year last year, and I have a lot to digest still, and I would like to see if it's possible, where to plan ahead for this year, and still working together and collaborate together. And so, the idea is always.
We're already doing a good job of that.
Sorry, yeah, thank you, but I don't know. It's okay. I don't want to change any dynamic, but I think that could be helpful. If I remember being in the city council for 5 years, we have retreats once a year. And it's what I know very much about other cities as well. So.
Yeah, yeah. Our board policy is every other year on the odd years. Why don't, how about if we period of time and we send in topics. I think we're going to have a workshop. We need to have an idea of what we would put on it.
Well, that's budget over here. I really support that, but I don't want to go into something where it's freewheeling. I tend to like to be focused and to understand what the link is to the functioning of the board, the link to internal process, and the link to customer. In other words, how will this improve those things? So I tend to be kind of, helps me focus. Otherwise, if you don't know what your topic is, we'll probably never get there. It'll be sidetracked. So that's my suggestion.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm proposing is our next meeting is the 20th. So longer. So what if, just as an idea, it's a bit of an idea. What if the three of us send to Allison no later than the 16th the specific topics we would put on an agenda? And we can have a conversation about it on the 20th, see if there's enough meat there to have a meeting. So that's what I'm suggesting.
I'm fine with that again. The way I look at these things, mm-hmm. that's the criteria by which I make a determination
right.
before I put something
right.
on an agenda. And in this particular instance, we have to be so careful. We have to be so careful about how we think implications might be in one section of our policy, but it really could affect several sections throughout the policy. It could be one thing, and so I'm not quite sure how staff would help us understand if that's in conflict with another section of the policy. So we don't end up with a GP something or other that is in conflict with.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. I'm not even sure if Commissioner Alford Crosby is proposing to change the policy. That's what I'm saying. I just want to get a concrete idea of what each of us thinks would be useful on an agenda.
Okay.
And we come back together and decide whatever it is.
Is that a policy issue? Is that a procedural?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does it make sense for us?
All right. Thank you.
So by the 16th?
Yeah, and we can absolutely support that. And if the topics come back that may have inference or a connection to any governance policy, we can also then advise as to how that should be structured.
Yeah.
In that short period of time?
Well, be structured for your discussion.
Mr. Guy, who has 50 jobs.
Well, I think we just need to understand mm-hmm. what the ask is.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying.
The procedural or yeah.
I think it's important to start from the foundational premise that you just want to do a refresh. So we start by just having a conversation about a reminder of how the governance policies work, and we can spend preliminary discussion on that. And then if there's specific areas that you want to explore and discuss, that's up to you. And that will be informed by whatever you submit. But what was my understanding of the request is, I've been here for a year. I'd like to do just a refresher on how do the governance policies work? How they dictate how we're supposed to work together as a commission? How is our relationship with John supposed to work? What are our expectations for John and how he interacts with customers and the rest of the organization? That's never a bad thing for elected mm-hmm. bodies to check yeah. in and remind themselves on what they've committed to in terms of the policies. Changes is a whole nother conversation, which we've been through, and we did a pretty comprehensive overhaul of the policies. If those come out in the agenda, that would be appropriate for you to discuss on the 20th to say, you know, we don't want to get that deep into this discussion, but we're still committed maybe to a refresher discussion retreat where we can educate each other on what our expectations are. So.
I like that better.
Okay, I'm confused.
That's
confusing. I'm confused about the ask.
Well, yes, yes. Thank you for helping me with that. I think it's a refresh. I mean, I'm sitting here for a year.
Okay.
So maybe you guys understand 100% of the policy in place, governance, all the dynamics, things like that. I didn't have time to have somebody to mentor me. So I started working myself to be involved and being, you know, mindful and doing my own thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Yes.
Thank you. That helps. I didn't understand you were asking about the policy, the board policies.
No, I didn't ask anything in particular.
Yeah.
It's in general. I think building relationships is, means a lot, and I understand
yeah.
that there is on the other institutions or cities they have every year the retreat. You know,
yeah.
it's very healthy. Like, hey, I mean, how was that year? What we can do better? How we can continue to collaborate, you know, it's like, you do
okay.
that.
Well, it's always healthy for the board to have a new perspective after a year.
It is.
We found that valuable since then that I've been around forever.
And I respect that because that
means oh, yeah,
knowledge. And same with, it's the same, but to me, this is a new, era is still, I'm
yep.
still learning every day. My background is not in energy, and yet every day I wake up, I read all these articles and fool myself, you know, it's like, wow. So,
perfect.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll still each of us send in
things that we think would be appropriate to put on the agenda to have a special meeting workshop. Okay, great. Thank you for bringing that up. It is now 10:19 a.m. and the board will recess into executive session to discuss current or potential litigation and discuss current practice for proposed action under the terms set forth in the Open Public Meeting Act. It is anticipated the executive session will last approximately 30 minutes and conclude at 10:49 a.m. The regular meeting will adjourn upon the conclusion of the executive session.